Hello, this is Pastor Raphael Green. It's a great joy to be able to greet you by way of video today. I'm so sorry that I'm not able to be there with you at this very special, special time. You know, your pastors, Chris and Carol, have always been very special to me personally and to my wife and to our family here, not just because their last name is Green like ours, but because of what the Lord has done in them and through them. I was just thinking today, Chris and Carol, that how long we've been together. I mean, it's been a long time. Somebody's getting a little old there, but it's been a great joy to be able to be a part of your lives and have you, of course, be a part of ours. In case many of you did not know, Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol have been handpicked by the Lord. I know many of you, of course, do know that as well, but they have been handpicked by the Lord for this time, for this season, for the relationships that you guys share and that we share with you. It's been a while since I was able to be with you, and I just wanted to be able to say hello and thank God, and also to commemorate and celebrate with you in this long decade of journey that the Lord has taken you on. There was a brief word in my heart that I wanted to share with you at this time, and if you have your Bibles, believe me, I won't be long, but I want to just share with you about four or five things that will really hopefully be an encouragement to you in this time. You cannot be involved in the work of the Lord as you have been without the necessity from time to time to be encouraged and to be reminded of why you're doing what you're doing. Years and years ago, when the Lord dealt with me and about what he had called me and your pastors to do here in St. Louis, we sit down from time to time and we talked and we prayed and we talked. And of course, we got up from prayer and prayerfully we went to labor in what God had called us to do. They were here with us for 17 years, just in this capacity, and long before that, serving in other places. And so they are very well aware of what I'm about to say to you. And many of you, of course, may also, of course, be aware of it as well. So it'll just be a reminder to you. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, who is a mighty man of God, as you know, who had been raised up and had been sent forth to be involved in ministry, winning people to Christ and going to nations of people that were not Jewish by natural descent. God raised this man up and he used him in a very powerful way in different locations. Little did he know, perhaps, that God would use him to write just about half of the New Testament, having started out as an individual that was totally against Christ and was completely against the church. He was radically altered through a personal encounter with God. And that's what it takes, you know. We all have to have those times when God just deals with us personally and shows us that what we are about is not just some figment of our imagination, certainly not just some religious trip, but in fact is according to his will and his purpose for us. Here in this particular part of the book, the apostle is dealing specifically with encouraging those that he has been ministering to. The church here in the city of Corinth was located on an isthmus. That's a two-sided strip of land there in southern Greece that connected, made a great connection in that part of the Mediterranean world. In fact, I'm told that when the people lived there, it was a very transient area. People kind of came through, walked through. They came to live there. If you're from places like Boston, San Francisco, New York, Miami, New Orleans, Houston, places of that nature, Los Angeles, San Diego, you're very familiar with this because it was a place that was had, you know, seaports, and people worked there. The military was there. There were a temple there with 1,000 priestesses. And so it was a very cosmopolitan area. And we also know from our study and that sometimes to shorten a trip, whether a ship would not go all the way around the southern tip, just going across on that little isthmus, that little strip of land, saved them a lot of time. And so there were lots of people coming through, very cosmopolitan area, and yet the Lord wanted a local congregation there. And Paul was used in a very powerful way to be a part of the birthing of that congregation and also the development. Now he's writing them back, and he's dealing with a number of issues. This particular congregation was a congregation that was filled with contention and division on several different things. And so Paul writes them in the first chapter, and he tells them, you know, not to be that way, to be of one mind and even of the same judgment. That means of the same decision corporately about things. Boy, I could talk about that an hour, how important it is to be of the same decision corporately. It's so easy to be that way individually. But in marriage, to be of one judgment, and in family, and in the local church, and in business, and in politics. Paul deals with several issues here. He uses the Greek term peri, or peridei, which means concerning, or now concerning, as he raises several issues, or addresses several issues that have been presented to him by those from that church for him to speak into. And so he has dealt with all of that, and now he's comes to the part where he is encouraging them about their walk in faith. And he says very clearly, if Christ was just, you know, some religious figure, if he really didn't rise from the dead, our religion, our faith even, is in vain. It's empty. It has no real value. But he goes on to say, Christ is risen. And he proceeds from there to really deal with them and us about what we've really been called to do and the basis for it. And I want to end with here with just, you'll read that sometime if you get a chance, with just four important things that he said to them at the end. Very last verse of the entire chapter. And I want to share it with you. After he speaks to them about the resurrected Lord and how we have the same promise, he tells them then in terms of who they are personally and their ministry together in that city. He tells them these words, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor or your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I'll say it, read that again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, so he's writing to not just the entire Corinthian city, but to those who are part of the body of Christ. Be steadfast. That's the first thing. Secondly, be immovable. And then thirdly, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Fourthly, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's the word of encouragement I want to leave with you. Be steadfast. What does that mean? The word steadfast there means, figuratively means to be, to sit, rather, or to be firm, to be immovable. You know, there's some things that we've been called to do in life, and there's always a temptation to move away from it. If you've not grown up around people that was immovable in the right kind of way, you may have a bad taste in your mouth about being immovable, because some people are just stubborn and mean and cantankerous. That's not the kind of immovability that we're talking about here, or even being steadfast here. We're talking about the kinds of people that are immovable in the right way. They're firm on the things of God. The word immovable means not to be moved, of course, from your place, but metaphorically, it means to be firmly persistent, firmly persistent. So the first two things are written kind of in what's called the imperative mood. They are commands, but they're loving commands. If we're going to be successful in the work of the Lord, we must be steadfast. We must be firm. We must sit where the Lord tells us to sit and determine that that's our spot. And then we must be immovable, that is firmly persistent. No matter what comes against us or what we encounter that's negative or even positive, sometimes the positive things can get us off faster than even the negative things, but be firmly persistent on the things of God. And then Paul uses in the Greek language some participles. They're like action verbs, like running and hitting and singing, okay? and they're written in what's called the passive voice. So this is something that is happening to us, or that we're doing while we're being who he has called us to be, while we're being steadfast, while we're being firmly persistent. We are also, kind of without making a big show about it, abounding, always abounding. That word is an interesting word. It means to exceed a fixed number. It means to be excellent, to be great. It means to grow, in other words. We are abounding. We're reaching a point where we're getting beyond the present boundaries, and we're moving beyond the present limitations into what God has for us. Anything you do in the Lord and for God and by God's help will eventually, if not immediately, lead to moving beyond the boundaries that you have. The scripture says that Jesus, of course, was being raised in Nazareth, and while he was being raised there, eventually he outgrew where he was. Now, his leaving was more on a negative note. They actually kicked him out, or he had to leave because they were going to kill him. But it's important that we understand that even from in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that we have been endowed, we've been blessed by the Lord to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to take dominion, to grow. There's nothing wrong with growing. And sometimes we can get a little off on that, and just think of it for ourselves, or don't want to be involved with it because there's been so much negative, even sometimes, sad to say, even through some of the television ministries, some, not all, that you get that impression that a growth is just about money, or it's just about having a big name. But it isn't. It's about the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord. God is a God of growth. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you study the New Testament, you see that where, in spite of the persecution, the church grew. It grew. And I believe that's what God wants for you. Can you begin to think and imagine prayerfully now about some of the boundaries that the Lord may be tugging on your heart to get beyond, to think beyond, to move beyond? If you are steadfast and if you're immovable, it's going to happen. You're going to abound. There will be excellence so about you in the Lord, and it will attract others. They will want to be a part of that excellence, a part of that growth. They need that in their own lives, just as we all do. And then finally here, the word tells us that we are to be steadfast, immovable, third thing, always abounding. Fourthly, and this is the key, knowing something, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go back a moment here to connect it with this other participle, abounding. We're abounding in the work of the Lord, not just our own individual work. I was thinking about that on the car on the way here today, that there are so many times that we are just not even aware of how we're driven. We're driven from within by what we want to be, what we want to do, where we want to go, what we want to see happen, what will make us happy, what will thrill us, even for our children, for those of us that are blessed to have children right now and so forth, our businesses, our careers, and even ministry. You know, your pastor is very much in the same camp as me on this. We're not really here to make a name for ourselves or just to build a ministry. But we are here to be involved in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord. And the work of the Lord is not something that will depress us. It shouldn't. It will really bless us as we're involved in it. Because that's the one thing that the world needs. The world needs the handiwork of God beyond the physical. That work of the Spirit where God ministers and God brings peace and God brings healing and God restores and God helps us to realize and to see and experience that what we think of and what we long for and is more than a pipe dream. It's possible that no matter how much you've hurt and no matter how much you have lacked and no matter how much has been missing, God, in his own supernatural way, can bring such healing, such deliverance, such change in your and my life that we can even barely remember how deeply we're hurt. Do you know that's real, that that's possible for you, for everyone around you in your life? You are a manifestation of the work of God. You, by His grace, through His power, through His wisdom, of course through His love, which prompts it all, you are visible, a visible evidence, fruit of what the work of God is about. And there are people that have prayed for you, that have poured into your life, that are still praying for you, even fasting, teaching, serving, discipling, talking, spending time. That's the work of the Lord. It's not just some beautiful building. And even though that's important too, there's work that goes on there. Study the scriptures, you'll see it. But it is important that we are always growing in the work. And so that may be a challenge for a few of you to get beyond negative stereotypes, even negative experiences in the past, where somebody just made the physical evidence outside the big deal. No, it's the people that we're laboring for and laboring with that God loves. And you are an indispensable key to what God wants to do. The final part says here, we can do this abounding. We can do all of this being steadfast. We can be immovable. We can be abounding, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's an interesting definition. Most of the time when you read the definition for the word knowing, it means to be aware of something. But this word means belonging to, devoted to, and adherent of. Belonging to a family, belonging to a kindred, belonging to the house of God. You getting it? Yeah. We are to be steadfast, immovable, abounding with a sense of belonging, a sense of devotion. Yeah. About something. Knowing that our toil is another definition of the word for labor. That's an interesting word as well. The word for labor there is the grief and the sometimes even the trouble that we're going through for a purpose. So it is labor that is coupled with trouble, with toil. Knowing that your toil is not vain or empty or worthless or fruitless. That word can also mean to have no purpose or without effect. Your labor, your toil, my toil in the Lord is not without effect. Everybody that's getting blessed by it and helped by it may not see it or even admit it at first. And that's why you and I must know, see, out of that sense of devotion and that sense of connection and bonding with God, there is a certainty. We know. This is the Lord's doing. This is of God. And so my prayer for you in closing is that God will help us, help you to really, truly abound in the way that He has purposed in His heart. Pastor Chris, Pastor Carol, you know that when you were sent, hands were laid upon you, not just out of religion or just a desire in your heart to help there, but it was the work of the Lord that was in God's heart and in our heart that caused all of us to assemble in the word of the Lord to be released from this very platform upon your lives. Men and women, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you are involved in the greatest work on this planet. It's the work of the Lord. And I encourage you to be steadfast, be immovable. Let nothing stop you. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not a scam. Your pastors love you, and we love you, even though we've not had a chance to meet and talk much. It's not a scam. It's not a game. We've devoted our lives. More importantly, Christ gave His life for you so that others that you're connected with as well can be trophies to His wonderful grace. Let's pray right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I believe and I thank you, God, for Chris and Carol Green, Pastors Chris and Carol Green, and the Urban Life Family Church. We thank you, Father, for what you are doing in that house and through them in that great city of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Lord, I trust you for a supernatural working of your spirit that I don't have. I can't do in my own strength. Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol cannot do it. But you, by your spirit, can do it. I pray for healing. I pray for encouragement. I speak it in the name of Jesus over these lives. And I pray, Lord, for a fresh understanding of your love and of your grace, of their place in you, and then their place in each other's lives, and their place in the work of the Lord. By faith now, we receive this grace to be steadfast, to be firmly persistent, immovable, to always be abounding, and, oh God, to do it knowing that our labor is not in vain in you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace, and may you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he is bringing to pass what he desires in your life personally and through your life collectively and corporately for this entire region and the rest of the world. God bless you. From our heart, Pastor Brenda, myself, all of the presbytery, and all of your fellow members and brothers and sisters in Christ here in St. Louis, we send you his greeting for his glory and for his honor. In the name of Jesus, amen.